miseries is a temporary creation of the Lord for those who have forgotten him and are trying to lord it over the false manifestation. He, however, is always anxious to get the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead, and for this he has given so many chances to the conditioned souls via the authoritative scriptures, his representatives and personal incarnations also. Since he has no direct attachment to this material world, he is not to be blamed for its creation. Om Gyanati Manandasya Kinandana Salakaya Shakshuran Militanyana Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Siguru Sitapadakamalam Sigurum Vaishnavam Sya Sirupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vidam Sya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhita Kripa Sandhubhita Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare One can say that the material world is working according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, according to the plan of the Supreme Lord, but not according to the material existence is not there according to the desire of the Supreme Lord, but rather according to the desire of the living entities. Is not the Lord who desires a material world. It is the living entities that require such a world so that they can fulfill their desires for independence from Krishna. And therefore the Lord arranges this abode where forgetfulness of him is available. Savasya chamriri sanibhisto matasmitir gyanam apovanam scha. That knowledge and forgetfulness have their origin in the Supreme Personality of Godhead to facilitate the living beings who want to forget the Supreme Lord. But it is never his desire. Rather, he is always eager, or as Srila Prabhupada writes here, he is, however, always anxious to get the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. Krishna himself, Vrindavanam Parichayam Padam Ekam Nagarchati, Krishna himself never takes a step outside of Vrindavan or outside of his own pleasure pastimes. And therefore Krishna is not dealing with the material world directly. He is not having any immediate involvement with the material energy, and in that sense he is aloof of what is going on. It is simply going on by his will. But at the same time Krishna expends himself on Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Suyate. He expends himself in personal expansions and he expends himself in his energies. So it is said that it is Krishna who glances on the potential of the material energy in the form of his extension as Mahavishnu, not Krishna directly, but Mahavishnu, his extension is glancing on the material energy or the potential of the material energy, and it becomes, the Mahatattva becomes activated. And it said that gradually the material elements come into being. It is stated that from false ego in the mode of goodness, it is said that the mind is manifest, and that Aniruddha is the original deity. Actually, it says in the Mahatattva, first consciousness manifests, and Vasudeva is the presiding deity of that. Then mind manifests from false ego in the mode of goodness, Aniruddha, the presiding deity of mind. Then from false ego in the mode of passion, the intelligence manifests, Prajumna is the presiding deity. And also the 10 sensual functions are there manifesting from the mode of passion, the 5 knowledge gaining senses, the 5 working senses. And finally, it is said from false ego in the mode of ignorance, the material elements, all these material elements, these separated elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, they manifest. However, this is the phenomenal world. The phenomenal world really means that which is perceived through the senses. The nominal world comes from noumen, the Latin word noumen, which means spirit or divinity or mysterious. So still, some understanding of a divine origin is there, but it is still mysterious, not clear who it is. So when we speak about the nominal existences, it is not fully clear. Or here in Sanskrit, sat asat, the eternal or the temporary, the non-eternal. So when we speak about the eternal, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the opening verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a reference to Param Satyam, the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is the eternal. But it is not clear what that Supreme Absolute Truth really is. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam that the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to explain that Param Satyam is Parameshwar, or that the Supreme Absolute Truth is there for the purpose, or that the Bhagavatam is for the purpose to describe that this Parameshwar is the same as Param Satya. Parameshwar means the Supreme Controller. So Krishna is the Supreme Controller, a personality. So the essence is to understand that there is personality behind everything. And that is what we are seeing. We're seeing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very personally involved with everything. He expands himself, and in a personal way, he is involved with the material energy. So never are we looking at an impersonal universe or an impersonal eternal manifestation. The origin of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, to establish that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we get descriptions about the Supreme Lord, who is the creator of the manifested worlds, then the real purpose is to show how everything is connected to him, so that we can thoroughly see material world connected, everything connects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Stavara jangama dekena deketara murti sarvadahai istadeus murti. Whether we are seeing the moving or the non-moving living beings, we don't see their external form. Rather, we're seeing behind them the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is behind everything in this material world. And ultimately, Krishna is desiring that the living being is returning to the spiritual world. Therefore, Krishna makes arrangements, many arrangements, to remind us somehow of the spiritual world. And therefore, the living being who is in competition with Krishna desires to take the place of Krishna. And therefore the living being is having a world which resembles the world of Krishna. So the material world in a way resembles the spiritual world. It's like a reflection of the material world. In the 10th canto, Yatar Bharka Pratibimba, like a young boy who is seated at the side of a body of water and playing with his own reflection. In the same way, so all these material energies are the reflection of Krishna's unlimited energy. And therefore, because it is the reflection of Krishna's unlimited energy, therefore it's so attractive. Therefore Maya is so attractive, and therefore it is so difficult to overcome the material energy, because it is the reflection of the spiritual energy. Otherwise, what would be the meaning of this material energy? So it actually gets its attractive potency. Maya gets its attractive potency because it's the reflection of Krishna. At the same time, though, it is described it as a shadow reflection. So just as we see our shadow, it may show the same contours, it may show many corresponding factors with the original features, but it lacks all the color, it lacks the flavor, it lacks the smell, the fragrances, it lacks many dimensions. So in that sense, the material energy lacks so many dimensions. Although it is in a way following the spiritual energy, and it is amazing. We see, you just look at nature, you see the wind is moving the branches of the trees, and if you see all the shades of colors, it's just inconceivable. The beauty of nature, actually, the light, the way it plays with the movement of leaves and branches, and so on. Extraordinary, absolutely. But we understand this is only the dull reflection, the dull reflection of the unlimited spiritual world, which is unlimitedly greater than anything in the material world. What can be said? Therefore, our interest is not so much in understanding the workings of the material world. Nowadays, science is just exploring and exploring the workings of the material world, and they take like a micro detail, and someone gets a PhD on it and just studies that little thing only. We don't want to waste our time. We basically don't care about the mechanics of the material energy, but in the broader sense, yes. In the broader sense, we try to understand how everything connects to Krishna, and how Krishna is the origin of everything in his expansions and so on, how Krishna is the ultimate controller, and what Krishna's purpose is. And then it's enough. Just like in the 11th canto, there is a discussion between Maharaj Nini and the Navayogendras. And at one point, there's a discussion about the material energy, and Maharaj Nimi is inquiring about the workings of the illusory energy and so on. But then the sage who's speaking on behalf of the Navayogendras is saying that Now you should inquire how to get out of the material energy, because that's more important, about what is the process of getting out of the material energy. Because we can see the limitations of the material energy. It's temporary. A, it is temporary, and B, as it is the as it is only the shadow reflection, it doesn't have the full potential to satisfy the heart of the living being. Therefore, fundamentally, the material energy cannot satisfy, cannot fulfill the living being. Therefore, without a relationship with Krishna, there is no question of fulfillment. And the word fulfillment is important because there may be in the material world some moments where happiness seems to be present. Happiness, some experience of happiness, how wonderful, and so on, yes. But fulfillment, no. And of course, the material energy may show sometimes its enjoyable side, and then it may change. I like to tell the story about how we were traveling in Europe on a bus and with a group of people, and we were going to the north. So going to the north, the tour organizer thought, let's show appropriate videos, and they showed penguins and polar bears and all these things, and we're driving towards Scandinavia. So while we're watching this, we see the emperor penguins, the big ones, 1 meter 25, and we see how both the male and the female birds are sitting on the eggs. They take turns, and then the polar winter comes, the big dark night, and it's the men that sit on those eggs. The ladies go to the south, to the warmer island, and throughout the dark polar night, those men sit on those eggs in minus 70, minus 80 temperatures. And then, at the end of the polar winter, the sun comes up, and the first light comes. Now the men also go to the south, and the eggs remain alone, and the warmth of the sun is warming it up, those eggs, and after a while you can see maybe 1,000 eggs lying on the ice, and then they all crack and the little penguins come out and they step on the ice with their big flat feet, and the ice is sort of sloping towards the water, and within moments those little penguins, they discover that they can ski. And within moments, they're skiing down the slope and flap their little wings, and they have so much fun, and the sun is shining and it's wonderful, and they just go for the edge and they just dive over the edge and about to plunge into the waters of the ocean when the huge gaping mouth of a killer whale comes out of that ocean and eats all our penguins. Oh my God. I'm still traumatized. I couldn't get over it. I have to keep on talking about this film because it just permanently traumatized me. Because it became like the symbol of material existence. They had so much fun. At the height of their fun, they got swallowed by this nasty killer whale. Isn't that the material world? Isn't it like that? That just every time again, the material energy strikes, you know, and it just suddenly turns around. Suddenly everything changes, and we get the other side of the coin, suffering. So, like this, the material energy has this problem, dukkhalayam asasvatam. Everything is temporary, and whatever happiness is there doesn't offer fulfillment, and therefore it also leads to frustration, and therefore in the end it's all suffering. Dukkhalayam asasvatam. Therefore it is said it's an abode where ultimately everything leads to distress, to suffering, and everything is temporary. Take happiness plus temporary is?
It's logical, mathematics.
Happiness plus temporary is equals misery, yeah? Because the happiness is gone. So no matter how happy we are, ultimately, it will be gone. And then what? We saw how, like, when the Russian Revolution took place, that so much aristocracy who had to flee, and somehow or other, many of them, they used to wear these uniforms, you know, like, and then somehow or other, many of them became porters in hotels. Somehow they all became porters in hotels, and they're all still wearing a uniform, but not with the same glory as before. Must have been very painful, very painful. So like this, we can see in the material world, there is only Purna Musika Bhav, that the dynamics, that one is being reduced to a mouse again, temporarily puffed up for a moment of glory and then whew, reduced to a mouse again. Isn't that what happens in old age when you start to lose it all? Yes, that's that experience of losing our power. Why is it so? Because Krishna is eager. Krishna is eagerly desiring that we return back to the spiritual world. Krishna is not indifferent. Oh, you wish to be independent from me? Oh yes, I will help you forget. Yes, forgetfulness. I'll make you forget everything, no problem. You can lord it over as long as you like. No. Krishna is impatient. Krishna is eagerly waiting. How long is it going to take? When is this living entity finally going to turn to me again? Alright. Let's turn up the suffering in the world a little bit and see that the living entities start to think about what are we doing? We're just having so much fun. Therefore, we can understand that the Supreme Lord is merciful. So the suffering in the material world is actually a symptom of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the question is raised that if the living being wanted to be independent of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord allowed it and arranged for a world where the living being could be independent, then why did he create suffering? Why did he put suffering in the Supreme World, in this world? What is the need? Is God cruel for creating this suffering? Why didn't he just let the living beings, enjoy separate from him? Why did there have to be suffering in the material world? It's amazing how much you can suffer. The material world is really designed in an intricate way to suffer. I was getting out of a car and sort of pulling myself up on the door stile, and a helpful devotee wanted to do some service and closed the door of the car, and four fingers caught in between the door of the car. It's this really intense moment. So I kind of called out, "Open the door!" And at the same time, the mental agony was maybe greater than the physical, because I thought, this is it, you know, for the rest of my life it's going to be Hari Bol Prabhu, thumbs up. And so, and then, okay, they opened that door, and oh my God, four fingers were still there, and it flashed through my mind. It was a German car, and I was thinking, thank God to the designers. They calculate, they thought of it. They thought of it, that fingers could get caught. They left the space and put some rubber. Oh, glories to the foresight of the designers. But I had never expected this. This is just one thing I didn't calculate. And that's the material energy. It just strikes from nowhere. It's just amazing. I mean, how it can happen.
Yeah. So, like this, surprisingly, the material world has so many ways that one can suffer. But actually, all this suffering is a great blessing. It is a great blessing. It is actually a symptom of Krishna's love, who cannot not tolerate the separation any longer. When will you return? When or when will you again take up devotional service? So that is interesting, because that is our explanation of evil. In Christianity, evil is very difficult to explain. It's a major theological problem, and Christian theologians keep on turning over the problem of evil again and again. And it's sort of, the idea in there is that, well, there was an angel who rebelled against God, you see. The reason is because God obviously also didn't want evil. How could he want evil? Right? So that's the problem, since it couldn't be that God wanted evil, so they had to invent an angel that rebelled against him. So it happened against God's will. And that angel is extremely powerful, and it's a major fight. God the invincible in one corner in the ring, the devil, the tricky, in the other corner. And it's a major, major fight. And the devil, of course, fights without the rules, and knocks God down in the fourth round. God is flat on the ground, and only by the count of eight, he's back on his feet. And then, finally, in the 12th round, God just knocks out the devil and knocks him straight out of the ring with a major blow, and God still holds the title. Something like this. It's a fight. It's a big match. It's not sure it's going to win. They had to come up with this idea of evil being separate, because how could God desire it? But that problem is solved easy. Of course he desired it, because evil is not that evil. It's not that evil. It actually is just simply a little pinprick to sort of push us in the right direction. Back to Godhead. Forget the material world. It's no good. It's no good. Because if Krishna has to wait till we finally get exhausted with sense gratification, then he has to wait a long time. Punapunas charvita charvanam. Life after life. Chewing the chewed. I'll chew it one more time. Just one more time. So, in this way, we can see Krishna's mercy. And in that way, we can see that the Lord is all good, and we trust that even when things apparently go wrong, that the ultimate purpose is good. The ultimate purpose is good, even if temporarily it may look bad. There was one congregational member of in Amsterdam, and he used to come to the temple regularly, and and he was chanting 16 rounds, and he was a bachelor. So he said, why don't you just come and join the temple full time? He's driving a taxi to maintain an apartment where he was never living, only sleeping, right? Because he was always driving the taxi to maintain it. He said, why are you wasting your time like this? Just join the temple and you can just do devotional service too. No, how could I leave my home? So anyway, we took him to Vrindavan. And while he was in Vrindavan, while we were all in Vrindavan, the news came that his house burned down. completely burned down. He suffered greatly for a short while and was forced to move into the temple. So Krishna blessed him, and actually all these so-called calamities in the material world are blessings, right? Even the penguins Prayagrajstad, who were swallowed by this killer whale, they burned up so much karma from having been killer whales themselves in the past, right? And therefore, even for them, in the ultimate sense, it wasn't bad. So when one can see how everything is connected to the Supreme Lord, and that the entire world is arranged for the purpose of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time giving opportunity to the living beings to fulfill their independent desires, then we can see that ultimately it's a merciful arrangement that takes us back, brings us back to the spiritual world. But the automatic mechanism is still too slow. So the Supreme Lord is making so many arrangements and sends his representatives and sends so much mercy in so many forms into this world. And in that way, we become delivered. All the living beings become delivered. And this is an ongoing situation eternally. Okay, any questions, any comments so far?
One comment, Father. As you said, nothing can happen without His sanction. Without Lord's sanction, nothing can happen.
Yeah, so the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita we find different factors that lead to an action, right? And we find that the living being plays a role in there. He has his desire, he has his endeavor, his senses are part, the place, the circumstances where he is are all part of the fulfillment of a particular task. And ultimately, the super soul is the ultimate cause for completing any action. And the super soul is described as Upadrasta and Anumanta. So Upadrasta means he's the overseer. So he's witnessing, he's the witness. There are many witnesses, but he's the ultimate witness of everything that is going on. And he is the ultimate personality behind whatever goes on. And he's Anumanta, the one who gives permission. Anumiti. He sanctions everything. And of course there is that Pavarga, right? These five syllables that represent material life. Pa for parisram, fa for fena, for foam on the mouth, then ba for birtata, for frustration, and bha for bhayam, fear, and ma for mrityu, death. So material life, we work so hard, even till we get exhausted, foam on the mouth, and still frustrated, still not successful, birtata. And therefore we become, and the little success that we have, that can be upset any moment, and we're just hoping nothing will go wrong. Quiet, we're happy here with our little house in Albert Park. They're small, they're not very big, but they're nice and peaceful. Nothing ever happens in Albert Park. It's a nice, peaceful part of Melbourne, and we hope it's going to stay like that. And then, hoping, hope against hope, because we know any moment something can go wrong. So although the Lord sanctions, ultimately everything runs by His plan. No one wants to die, but the Lord does not sanction any exceptions there. Right? There are no survivors in the material world. So the Lord sanctions. sometimes and sometimes frustrates our material desires. But ultimately, everything goes on according to the greater plan of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, why bother with this material sanctioning and not sanctioning? Why bother with a little house with a picket fence in Albert Park? Why bother? We may have it, but you can't take it very serious. Hang some pictures of Krishna on the wall. Stay there for a while. It's a temporary residence. We're in a transit lounge. Instead of hanging home, sweet home on the wall, put a sign, transit lounge. it can't be too soon. Anyhow, yes.
What is the position of the jiva who begins to serve the Lord in order to reduce his suffering? I mean, that's his motivation.
The living being who begins to serve the Lord to reduce his suffering is approaching the Lord with a material motivation. And the Lord will certainly reciprocate with his sincere effort. The Lord is accepting him as his devotee. He becomes a Sakkama Bhakta. He has material desires. So the Lord accepts him, and therefore the Lord begins to personally take responsibility for his life. So the Lord very carefully is maintaining his devotional creeper. He's not going to break the devotional creeper. So he gives him a little bit. He gives him a little bit of nice circumstances, so he can nicely continue his devotional service at the same time, get purified. And then when there's a little bit more strength, then yasyam manugrinami tattana marishesanai. Then he may just give him frustration again. God, if nothing works, trying, everything breaks down, what's going on? I was just doing really well. 2 good years astrologically, and then a few years where everything goes upside down. So in this way, Krishna intricately plays in the life of his devotees. Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning that Srila Prabhupada was explaining the workings of karma in the life of a devotee, and saying how there is that dynamics of the diminished reaction that the devotee gets. The fan is slowing down, still spinning, but slowing down. And then Giriraj Maharaj said, yes, but there's more. Krishna also personally interferes, Prabhupada explained. And sometimes he may hold up some karmic reaction. And it was supposed to come on the 13th of February 2013, but instead it comes on the, 19th of March 2014. Krishna can interfere if he desires so. So it's not just the diminished reaction of karma alone, but Krishna also plays with that. So Krishna is personally purifying that devotee, but carefully protecting his creeper. That's why it is said Krishna is bhaktivatsala, the one who never gives a test that one cannot pass. Krishna is careful not to break the devotee who has material desires. Bhakti.
On that point of evil.
Evil.
Yeah, and the Christian conception is the world mm-hmm. to them. We understand evil from the point of view of ahamkara, desire, and selfishness, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the devotee has to deal with the evil in existence. How does the devotee deal with the evil factors within the world?
Yeah. There's still adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika kles, still suffering from our own body and mind, from other living beings, from natural circumstances. And it's hard. It's very hard. It's just, and the age of Kali is is intense. It's an intense age, so it's like very difficult, actually. And we are already handicapped to begin with, because as residents of the age of Kali, we are weak by nature, mandusamandamatiyoman, and so on. So we're not great powerful yogis, we're not very tolerant. A little pain is already like too much. Give me a painkiller right now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Two, please. So here we are, you know, like, therefore, at the end of the day, we are just beggars before Krishna. We really are praying to Krishna, Krishna, please, please protect me, please take care of me, somehow or other. We become, our only way to deal with this suffering of the material world emotionally is taking shelter of Krishna very seriously, praying to him, actively taking shelter again and again, because it's the only way that, in that attitude, that's the only way that will pull us through different kinds of suffering. Some people, their karma is a little better and it never gets dramatic, the suffering. You know, their life is sort of, the suffering manifests more in emptiness, right, in unfulfillment. Whereas others, right, they have this drastic karma where there's like one disaster after another, every few years there is another disaster. But it is a fact, there are many people who are in the realm of disaster, right? In hospitals, in so many people, actually. And one thing I find, you know, like in this particular service that of being a spiritual leader, you get involved in caring for devotees, and devotees begin to reveal their mind and tell you about their problems. And my God, you know, wow, it's amazing. This one has a hole in his heart, right? That one, everyone has some really, most people have heavy issues in this age. It is the age of Kali, and many people have heavy issues and some intense suffering that is there under the surface, behind the facade. So it is a very relevant issue. And obviously, just normal human support, right, is required. Right? That's why now devotee care is a new, it's like the slogan of the day. Right. It is a fact that we need support of the community of the Vaishnavas. Durgame patimendasya skalapadakatirmu yad kripa svastidanena santa santavalam. My feet are always slipping again and again. My path is very difficult. But the support of the Vaishnavas, that's the stick by which I can go on. So support comes not only in giving the right sloka at the right time, you know, but it also comes in friendship and in support. I like that in when Sanatan Goswami joined the Associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He first met Mahaprabhu in Banaras, then later in Puri again. And the Associates of Mahaprabhu accepted Sanatan Goswami, and they gave him respect, they gave him mercy because they had received mercy from Mahaprabhu, so they could give him mercy, and they gave him friendship. And so that's really nice. I like that, you know, that these three elements are there. Friendship is very important. And on friendship, I like the quote from the French philosopher Pascal, who said, if friends would know what friends say behind their back, there wouldn't be any friends in this world. So, if we want to have friendship, then we should go beyond what Pascal described there. So very deep Vaishnava relationships are required. Basically, if we don't, Prabhupada of course said that ISKCON is not utopia, right? So that our movement is not expected to be ideal. It's a movement, sometimes it's said it's like a hospital, everyone is a patient, everyone is having the ritrogam, the disease of the heart, the material disease. Everyone has his false ego and so on. But still, we should try to, as much as possible, bring the atmosphere of the spiritual world into the community of the Vaishnavas by rising to at least the Madhyam Adhikari platform and embracing Vaishnav qualities so that we find shelter in the community of devotees. Because if the community of devotees is remaining on the Kanista platform, then where is our shelter in the community of devotees? And then if everyone is just, if our association is still on the material platform, then where to go for shelter? But it's difficult, you know, like we're supposed to have Krishna Katha as devotees. Yeah? And how do we do it? I mean, we come together and, you know, with a few devotees and sort of say, hey, how you going? You know, and Haribol Prabhu, you know, Haribol, how you going? And then you go like, you know, Krishna went to the forest this morning. And someone looks like, are you okay? It's hard, you know. So how can we machita matkata pranabudhyantas parasparam katiyantas tamam nichantusham ticharam anticha? How to do it? How to actually absorb ourselves? It's going to require a whole culture of embracing Vaishnava qualities before we have that kind of, before we get a community where we really find shelter. And if we just, you know, right, keep the old material ways, right, and bring it into Krishna consciousness, the material culture, yeah, and we drink a cup of decaf, you know, just and have like, you know, vegetarian hot dog, you know. Yeah. Great. What do you want to drink, Maharaj? Wine or beer? Yeah. Alcohol free. Yeah. But certainly mentally contaminated. I'd rather have that, you know, banana flour sabji that, you know, Lord Chaitanya also eats, things like that. I'd rather have the preparations from the Chaitanya Charitamrita than that vegetarian hot dog, if possible. So it's the whole thing to absorb the culture of Vaishnav behavior so that we can create that shelter in the community of the Vaishnav to become trustworthy. Yes, go ahead. Bhagavatam explains evil is the shadow side, the backside of the Supreme Lord. So we point out just evil is like, or the suffering in this world is like the punishment of the parent. Right? It's hard for a child to always see it as benevolent, you know, when the parent slap the child may not appreciate it as benevolent and sees it as evil. Yeah? I used to do crazy things when I was a kid. I used to have a ball, throw it on the roof of the house, and it was like multi-story house, climb up the rain pipe, go on the roof, take the ball, climb back down, and throw it on the roof again, and climb on the roof again. It's a crazy game, of course, you know. So we had this maid, right? I was quite small, and this maid said, I had to stop it. And I sort of poked my tongue out at her, and she grabbed my ear, squeezed it really hard, and turned it. And I thought that was evil. And as soon as she let me go, I stood there and said, you wait. You wait till I grow up. And I remember distinctly that I thought this was evil. This was unjust. It was evil. It's complete evil. But when I finally did grow up, I saw it different. You see, I didn't see it as that evil anymore. I still thought she was a bit over the top for squeezing like that, but I was also way out of control. Right? So it wasn't just evil. So people cannot always see, you know, the punishment or the restriction, the suffering, as a benediction. But it is, because it turns our ways towards the right direction. But it remains a sensitive topic that we have to sort of carefully land, you know what I mean? After 9/11, no one could just say, this is your karma, America. And America would have smacked you on the mouth and said, and this is yours. America would not have been able to take it. So according to time, place, and circumstance, we, just like with a child, an adult, you know, the child's getting upset about non-important childish issues, yeah, which don't affect an adult. So you can't just be totally detached on the adult platform and say, you know, come on, you're making a fuss about nothing. You have to go along. No, really. Oh, no, that happened. You know what? You have to go along with the emotions of the child. Bring it down and then slowly make it aware of, actually, it's not such a big thing.
So showing compassion.
Showing compassion and sharing the emotional intensity and respond to it, and not just slapping philosophy. There's this story, and I'll end with that, about Prabhupada in Japan and with Dai Nippon, and he was, there had been many visits, and they were negotiating with the executives about the price. And one particular executive was very absent-minded and easily agreed to a price that was really too cheap. So Prabhupada later on inquired, what is wrong with whatever his name was, with Mr. Yamaha? And, he said, oh, his son has died. His son has died. He's only 28 years old and he has died. So he can't get over it. He's just not. Prabhupada said, oh. So Prabhupada went to him and preached to him. Now, you know, you could have preached in many ways, you know. Amriyate, you know. Soul never dies, you know. Huh? We can just go like that. One could go for the Chitraketu story, you know, like, go like, many ways. But what Prabhupada did, it was different. He went to the man, he said, oh, I heard of the great calamity, such a tragedy, that your son left at such a young age. He said, like, oh, I feel very sorry for you, very, very, very sorry. And I am thinking, I can see only one way that we can do something to alleviate the situation. He said, you know, Krishna, when he was studying, his teacher went through the same thing. He also lost his son. But then Krishna brought back that son to life. Therefore, the only one who can help you is Krishna. Therefore, you must pray to Krishna. Prabhupada really went along with the emotions of the man. He didn't ignore them. He completely was sensitive to his feelings, and then from these feelings edit the way to Krishna to that. Yeah. That's expert, and that is preaching, not just like a tape recorder rattling off some philosophy, totally insensitive to people's feelings. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.